Welcome, sports fans. This is the Wim Hill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club Cal Neve on ESPN 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Kenny B., here with John the Hawk Stevens, drinking an 805.
805.
I like John just rolls up to the station with a six-pack of 805s.
30 seconds before.
30 seconds before, and he's ready to roll. Yeah,
I'm ready to rock.
He's ready to rock.
What else do you need?
Have you had any alcohol before this today?
That's none of your concern.
That's none of the public's concern, my concern.
That's right.
Okay, Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Ken, not too much. I'm just filling out one of my many entries in the William Hill 2020 Bowl Challenge. Sure, I have a ton of tickets by the time they kick off, and we have first full weekend of bowl games.
Absolutely. And it's something, you know, just news, just on out there. Ezekiel Elliott just got fined for helmet. He's the first quarterback to be fined for helmet. There hasn't been a quarterback fined yet, has there? First running back to be fined for helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yeah, I think this is the first offensive player, period, which would make sense.
And, you know, I guess you're right now that you say that. Well, no, there could have been. No, there was an offensive lineman, I believe, that got one a while back. Through an interception.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but with that being said, so. You know, I got lucky last night with the Chargers. I had Chargers plus 4.5. Basically, Kansas City covered for 59 minutes and 56 seconds. So they scored a touchdown with four. And
the Chargers covered when it mattered.
And I was so excited when they went for two because I had plus four.
You're winning either way. That's beautiful.
Yep.
Oh, because I knew good and well that if they score and kick that extra point, it's going to be a long touchdown by Mahomes.
I think we all did on the Eagles against the Cowboys. I'm like, you know what? They say they've improved this overtime format. Well, first of all, they cut the quarter, not quite in half, but 10 minutes. Significant difference. But now it really is. It's still sort of walk-off or winner take all if you get it on the first possession. So even though they said they tried to alter it, give both teams a chance, well, you really don't.
Because
if you lose that coin flip, you're still in pretty bad shape. And that's why I like the kind of growing trend of the teams going for two when they tie it at the end, because if you tend to be an underdog player, it is beautiful. Regardless, either way, you're going to get it. Who cares, win or lose? You don't have to sweat that overtime, which is nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
So, with that being said, you know, we're going to jump right into this college bowl season. And, you know, everybody knows that I did the math today. I have Mahomes to win. Everybody knows this if you listen to the radio show regularly. I have $100 on Mahomes to win the most passing yards by a quarterback this year at 40-1. He was up 75 going into last night's game. He had two something last game. And
kind of moderate last night, right? I think it was around
260. So he's up right now. Where's my notes? Here's my notes. He's up right now by 316 yards on versus Big Ben. So Big Ben is in second place. John's going to
sneeze. I thought I had a sneeze. I fought it off somehow.
So he has 316 yards lead versus Big Ben in one game, but Big Ben still left to play this week. You know, so everybody knows that he plays the Patriots this week. So Big Ben right now has 467. So the remaining games for Mahomes, Seattle and Oakland. The remaining games for Ben, New England, the Saints and Cincinnati. So what I did is I went through and gave and I took the averages of what these teams allow through the air defensively. So right now, if you take my 316 a yard lead, and then add 246. That's what Seattle averages per game. Oakland 247, and you add all those up, it comes up to 809 yards. So if you take Big Ben and you take the average of the Steelers, the Saints, and the Cincinnati, it's 259, 271, 273. 803. So 809 versus 803. That's how close this is going to be.
805.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to fall 805. It's going to come 809, 805.
Well, the thing is, Ken, too, with Big Ben, the Steelers' run game hampered and James Conner possibly out again. This could happen against New England, but I just wonder if he's due for one of those 5-15 games.
Oh, I'm terrified.
The end of the game.
They'll be behind the next 2 weeks for sure.
And
then Mahomes may not play late.
Well, why not? They're tied with San Diego now. They got to win out, or they're going to lose that two
spot. They could play Gadgie and beat the Raiders.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I mean, theoretically you would think that, John, but you don't put the season on the line like that. I mean, here they have a chance to actually, to get home games in Kansas City. So, I mean, you really don't want to screw with that, you know. That was a big win for the Chargers last night.
Yep.
You know, it hopefully keeps Mahomes playing the next two games. But hopefully Big Ben, you know, Steelers can go 3-0 as far as I'm concerned, John, but let's just run the ball the rest of the – let's get Big Ben healthy, okay?
Yeah,
all right, with that being said, I just thought I'd tell everybody that. I did the math. I was amazed at how close it was going to be, 809, 803. Josh, college football, bowl season theoretically kicks off tomorrow. What's the first game tomorrow? Let me grab my card right here.
Well, Ken, there's the one sort
Utah
of,
State. No,
right.
Actually,
say, there's the Division II game. Yeah, Alcorn State, yeah. North Carolina A&T. So we could skip that one. But, yeah, the first FBS bowl game is the New Mexico Bowl featuring Utah State and North Texas in Albuquerque. And this one's sort of interesting in that it's seen a pretty big spread change from the opener. Utah State actually opened up as like 11.5 point favorite.
It's down to 7.5.
Yeah, North Texas was hammered immediately. It got to 10 almost immediately. It was 9.5 pretty fast. And it just keeps going to the point where I think it could just be an even 7 by the kickoff. But there's a lot of things in play here, Ken, because you realize Utah State's coach, Matt Wells, left to take the job at Texas Tech. He's done a pretty good job at Utah State. He was the one who several years ago now replaced Gary Anderson, who had kind of put the program on the map. He did pretty well, but they actually then struggled for a couple of years. The last two, remember last year they barely made it to a bowl game and lost to New Mexico State. That was a down year for them. But they fought back, and this probably was their best year yet. Of course, that's why he kind of becomes the hot coaching prospect. And there's a combination of factors. Again, I mean, North Texas hasn't won a bowl game in forever, and they were really down a couple years ago too. And it's been the new coach's like stated goal, like he feels like they've really come of age if they win a bowl game. So he's made it clear that's huge for them. You got the thing on the other side where they might be deflated because the coach left after all the hard work they put in. You never really know what mentality that team's going to come out with. But I also just believe even if both teams were at full strength, North Texas probably had some value there because they're a pretty good team. I think people are piling on because of the coach factor. So I still like the underdog a little bit, but you definitely, at this point, you've missed the best of the number.
Yeah, what you do now is you take the parlay cards and you kind of hope to look for some edges. You know, it goes right back to what you were studying before we went on air.
Like
Josh
said, the bowl championship has it 9.5.
Yeah,
so.
But the $20,000 parlay card, or Nick's putting out, the contest card, look for the edges there, Josh, because those are tied in.
Right. Like Syracuse +7.5, and Will Greer's out.
Yeah, he decides
like
he wants to.
Like a pick
yeah, I want to talk about that later because I have a real problem with these athletes doing that. A real problem with it, especially. So, anyways. So I'm going to write this down. So out early. Okay, go ahead, Josh. John, do you have an opinion on this game Josh was just talking about?
Utah State?
Yes.
I'm slightly towards Utah State. With all the upheaval, it's a little tough, but I think Utah State's clearly the better team.
Yeah, they have the better personnel for sure.
Yeah.
They're exciting. They can score a lot. But that's one thing, though, if you pay attention, North Texas, they came on strong toward the end of the year, too. They can score a little themselves. That's why total 68.5 is kind of a projected shootout. But I just still, it was mentioned, I feel like the key factor there is, will Utah State have that mentality of wanting to win? Will there be any sense of deflation? One thing, though, I've learned to do and not do with these bowl games is you don't just assume either way. So the coach leaves, you don't just assume, they're going to be a no-show. You know what you really need to do, and it takes some time, is research. Who's been named interim? Do the players like him? You can watch the press conferences. I mean, there's actually things like that you have to get a grip on. So I haven't yet. I honestly don't know who the interim is for Utah State and what the general feeling is. But it's kind of funny, and sometimes it might be too late before you – can make this call, but sometimes you can tell just warming up, like 10 minutes before the game.
Are they invested?
You can tell whether they kind of want to be there or not, but it doesn't help you out a lot ahead of time.
I agree. I'm with John. The only way to bet this game right now is if you bet Utah State because of the number move. I mean, you're getting value right there, Josh.
Totally. By what they thought, four points.
And I trust Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader for William Hill, when he puts up solid numbers. And usually when when numbers move 1 or 2 points, I'm still inclined to go with what I think. When numbers move that much and I know that there's no injury or anything like that, I kind of want to side with Nick and take the best of it right here. I agree with John. They have the better personnel at Utah State. They want to, they're excited, to be here. And I'm going to have Utah State, Josh. I'm going to have Utah State.
And you can do one of those things, Ken, too. Super value on a teaser as well. If you want to go from having to lay 11.5 points, one teaser leg, now is basically a pick 'em. That's a pretty sweet deal, also.
Yep. What's the next game, Josh?
The next game is the Camping World Bowl, or I should say the Cure Bowl at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. This is sort of interesting. It's Tulane -3.5 against Louisiana Lafayette with a total of 59. And that Lafayette, usually when they become bowl eligible, they get a home game, right? They play in that New Orleans Bowl. But they're not there this year because that's reserved for the Sun Belt champion in Appalachian State's there. Lafayette, when they get that home field advantage, is usually very good in the New Orleans Bowl. But now they're playing outdoors. It's a little bit different. But they actually lost to App State last week in that conference championship game. So they're at the top of the Sun Belt. Lafayette's weird, though. They're a hard team to gauge. They've been pretty good against the spread, but they're a pretty boring team. Tulane came out of nowhere. They were really bad early on. Won a bunch of games late. They had a midseason quarterback change that really sparked them. They started playing a young kid who got the offense moving. And, Ken, from what I can tell, I've seen, you know, there's been a lot of sentiment coming in on Lafayette, and I think it has a lot to do with how well they've covered as a dog this year. But that's what it is. I'm starting to lean towards Tulane. I've seen them enough to think, I think they've got the better personnel. I would take them.
Tulane? Yeah, well, it's Lafayette is always a, they are a pretty mundane team to bet on. I like taking them as a dog, not necessarily as a favorite. I'm probably going to sit this one out.
There's so many bowl games.
I know, exactly.
You can kind of afford to do that, right?
Yeah, this isn't the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, so exactly. So, you know, but there's money to be made in some of these, you know, these smaller bowl games. And, Josh, you brought up a very good point. Do your homework.
Go
in and do your homework. Seriously. I mean, go and see who wants to be there, who overachieved and, you know, is stepping up in talent, or who underachieved and now they're going through the motions.
Exactly, Ken. Yeah. And there are times, especially with this coaching dynamic, you'll see, you know, the opposite of what seems conventional thinking, where, oh, such and such coach bailed and they named, you know, the offensive coordinator interim. And then you come to find out that they like the guy more anyway. Like, they're happy he's named, you know, he might be named permanent head coach before the game. You know, the kids love him and aren't missing the other coach at all. And suddenly that team goes out and just has a great game. So you got to actually know what angle to zero in on there.
Who was the coach, refresh my memory, the coach that had they said the greatest press conference of all time, when he went in and said, we're going to play hard?
Oh, it was the Temple guy. I forget his name, but it's the guy.
Oh, the Temple
guy,
that's right.
He's filling in for the Temple guy who left for Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
I heard the thing. I mean, it's sort of funny.
John, you saw, obviously.
Have you said all that?
I don't think I did.
What's hilarious about that,
you have allergies
that,
right now?
No.
It was a pretty inspiring thing and everything. It was pretty entertaining. And, yeah, I totally like Duke in that game anyway, because I think Duke's got the better team, and they're getting 3.5 points.
Yeah. So, anyways, I just throwing that out there.
That was funny, though.
All right. What other college games? We have a bunch of bowl games tomorrow.
Las Vegas Bowl should be pretty interesting, Ken. This is one where, for the first weekend, it's the highest profile teams ever, because Arizona State's the only Power 5 team playing the first weekend, and Fresno State's the highest-ranked Group of 5 team playing. So, if you're looking for the – you know, most attractive, so to speak, in terms of the teams you might know better, this is the one. So Fresno State, I actually happen to know it's up to -6 now.
Yeah.
A total of 54.5. And
it's down to 53.5.
Okay, and it actually opened, though, like 3.5.
Yep.
So I think this is a tough one, Ken, in that Arizona State, the key factor here is their NFL-bound receiver, great player, N'Keal Harry. He's sitting out, same thing we're talking about, the draft purposes or whatever, prepare himself. He's by far their best playmaker. They got a real good passing game, senior quarterback Manny Wilkins. That's going to hamper them a lot. But Arizona State's been good as an underdog. That's what I wonder about Fresno State. For some reason, you know, I've tended to be something of a non-believer of them, but without real reason, because they've basically beat up everybody. They'll split two super close games with Boise. Their only other loss was at Minnesota early in the season. And Fresno State's legit, and yet I still wonder, you know, do you want to lay a touchdown against a Pac-12 opponent? I'm starting to feel like the underdog's the right play.
You think? I like Fresno State here. Just the direction the program is going with Tedford has them. They look really stout. They play defense. They can be dynamic on offense. I like Fresno State here. Arizona State's better than I thought they'd be under Herm Edwards this first year. And I think it runs out today or tomorrow.
You know, if you can still get 4.5 on the William Hill half point card too.
Well,
so I mean, you're looking at a big line move right now. So instead of laying the 6, you know, maybe find a parlay with some other edges, which we'll get to a little bit later, because there's some big moves in the NFL already. So there's some huge, you know, key number over the top edges. With that being said, I'm going to have Fresno in this game. I was talking to Nick McDonavish today, and he kind of likes Fresno a little bit today too. So, you know, obviously, I'm not going to lay 6, 6.5 when I could have got it, you know, the opening number, which is, you know, they've kind of priced me out of that wager for a straight bet. But I am okay with this, you know, to find a three-teamer, put it together, and to try to take the 6.75 on the three-teamer. You know, like maybe make a $100 three-teamer and take Fresno and try to turn $100 bill into $675.
Sure. You're scalping the best number off the card for
exactly.
Sure. But
so, you know, but just for the record, going back to what you said, Josh, it's down, the total's down to 53.5. I can see the move because, like John said, you know, Fresno had trouble scoring. They came to Reno. Reno held them to 21 points. That was the game that Ganji didn't play, you know, and I think we ended up getting, what was it, 21-3, John? Does that sound
correct.
Right? 21-3. So,
it was painful. They backdoored it at like -16.5.
Yeah,
barely.
Barely.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, I can see John's take on the under right here, you know, and maybe, you know, under 53.5 too. So give me some favorite and under a little Paul Sonner special. I know it's probably not really, it's not close enough to be a Paul Sonner special, because you want to lay double digits and bet games under like high 30s. That's what he always did. We had great success with it. But with that being said, I like Fresno State in this game.
Yeah, and one thing to note about Arizona State, too, in the final game of the season, they were playing the rival, right, Arizona Wildcats, who were trying to become bowl eligible. Arizona State was actually down like 20 points in the fourth quarter, came back with three touchdowns in the final 5 minutes, beat them by 1 point. You do sort of wonder if that's the pinnacle of their season, if they'll be able to get up for this. So, and I would like them more. I don't know, like, really, Arizona State is a home underdog in Pac-12 after dark. They're great then. Otherwise, they're sort of hard to figure out. So the next one, Ken's the Camellia Bowl from Montgomery, Alabama, with Georgia Southern -3 against Eastern Michigan, 47.5 is the total. What I basically know about this game is, I mean, Eastern Michigan's really solid. They're better than you think. They're one of the better teams in the MAC this year, kind of behind Buffalo. I mean, they're just really, fundamentally sound on both sides of the ball. Georgia Southern's a triple option team. The reason this has basically gone from a pick of the -3 is Eastern Michigan's really good at defending the pass, actually one of the best in the country. How's it going to help them against a triple option team, right?
The never pass. I have a great story for that. That was back in the old days where Oklahoma was really good against the pass defensively. That was before the Big 12 started throwing the ball all around the yard, when everybody was a power running team. And so they would have like the #3 ranked passing defense in NCAA football. Then they'd go play somebody they could pass, they'd get destroyed because nobody threw against them.
Right, right. So here it remains to be
seen. Going to what you're saying now.
Right, right. How Eastern Michigan can handle the run. And it's obviously difficult to prepare for. You never see triple option, the assignment football. We all know how people struggle with Georgia Tech and similar situation. But I still feel like I've seen Eastern Michigan enough to feel like they're the better team. I would take them as an underdog. Georgia Southern's fine. It's kind of a novelty system that they run. You know, they could win. And let me see, Montgomery. I mean, I guess it's a closer home game for Georgia Southern. But still, I like Eastern Michigan a little bit.
John, have you forgiven?
No.
Georgia's,
Tracy Ham? No.
Yeah, you haven't forgiven Georgia Southern?
No, that's what I was going to say. I'll take Eastern Michigan. Georgia Southern ruined my childhood.
Back when they were playing the Pack, and we couldn't stop it.
13-0, Tracy Ham comes here and destroys us.
Yeah, so.
48-38.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Who was pitching for us back then?
Eric Beavers.
Oh, was it Beavers?
Wow. Yeah.
I can't believe he remembers this stuff.
Oh, so. Yeah. I told you, it ruined my childhood.
Hambone did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's crazy. I'm gonna have the same principle here, guys. Would you say this game opened up, Josh?
It pick 'em.
It opened at pick. I can take 3.5. So I think Nick Bogdanovich puts up a solid opening line. I know there's a big move on this, but I'll be looking to scalp some value on the dog here and take the +3.5. Based upon that and the fact that JD hates Georgia Southern.
Yes.
For what they did to the Nevada Wolfpack, I got to give the Mac some props for that.
Yeah, they got him in 91.
And they got him
national championship.
In the national championship game. So. Don't, Pack fans, bet against Georgia Southern.
Yep.
Let's head off to our first commercial break. We come back, we got more bowl games, NFL slate, and a bunch of other stuff to talk to. This is the Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back at the Windmill Sportsbook, located just in front of the, just inside the Club County Racing Sportsbook. I'm your host, Kenny B. Josh Nagel, get his stuff on Sportsline. Make sure you like our Facebook page, too, at Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping, our Facebook page. And I wanted to throw that out there because the progressive card, Josh and John, as you guys have already seen, didn't get hit last week, as we predicted on the radio show.
Yep.
$158,000 this week for a $5 wager.
Yes.
No point spread. You just pick the NFL games. Who's going to win? No point spread. $5 entry fee is all it is. Pick it clean, Josh. John, $158,000. I'll have at least 20 entries into this. At least 20 entries into this. Somebody's got to hit it. It's been hit in the last 3 years. It's been hit twice here at the Club Cal Eva by Bob Martini, who owns Reno Pizza. So
yeah, that as you mentioned, Ken, that was crazy last week. You can see it coming, all those upsets between the Dolphins and the Raiders winning outright. You can just sit back and watch score scroll and just know no one's got the clean card there.
Yeah. I wonder, Josh and John, I wonder if somebody only had one loss and the loss was the Patriots. Could you imagine – Yes. Leaving $127,000 on the table on what happened at the end of the
Patriots
game.
That's funny. You know, I actually lost a $400 teaser on just that. It's kind of funny because I had all these morning games teaser. Everything was in comfortably. Patriots were real frustrating the whole game. I have a hard time figuring out the Dolphins. But right at the end game scenario, too, it's looking like I'm going to push because I had -2 on the teaser. I'm like, this sucks. But the way the whole timing construct went, like, oh, it's great. They're forced to do something on fourth down, kick that field goal. I'm like, all right, I'll live with 5. We're going to barely get in there under the wire. Then I saw the final play, like,
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's brutal.
Among the worst.
Absolutely brutal. So a couple more college games this weekend, Josh. Let's get these out there.
Sure. So the last
App State, App State Mid-10.
Right. For the slate tomorrow is the New Orleans Bowl featuring Appalachian State and Middle Tennessee State. You know, this one actually opened 7 and 7.5, and for the most part it's gone inside that. I think it's 6.5 now at William Hill. Kind of a tough call because I think the again, the overwhelming reason people are back at the underdog there is App State's coach left. Scott Satterfield went and took the job at Louisville. He's going to replace Bobby Petrino there. I mean, a 7-point favorite is for a reason. Appalachian State, I think, is more solid on both sides of the ball. They have one of the top scoring defenses in the country. I think they're number 3. They're allowing like 13.5 points a game. Middle Tennessee is kind of that more finesse spread option team. They like to throw it around, but one thing it's worth noting, I mean, their starting quarterback spent there 4 years, broke all the records, Brent Stockstill. This will be his last game. Of course, his father is the coach, Rick Stockstill. So this is kind of a signature moment for that era in that program. I was just starting to think, as much as App State has the better personnel, if you give me a full touchdown, I think I want Middle Tennessee here. I think these teams might be a little closer than that spread.
I like the over in the game, Josh. It's, right now you said it's 6.5, total's 48. Once again, I was talking to Nick, and, we kind of came up on the same side on this game, so I'm going to have a little bit of over money in this game.
I like that as well, by the way. I think they'll score a little bit.
It's like you said, it's in New Orleans. Are they playing at the Superdome, Josh?
Yeah.
Okay, it's inside.
Right.
So fast track.
And one thing is, Middle Tennessee is a team that lends themselves to overs because of they have the dual dynamic. They score a lot, and they let the other team score.
Yeah.
So there you
perfect,
go.
Perfect, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and this is a 6 p.m. kickoff, too, so one of the later games.
That'll be the last one.
Yep. So I am going to have the over in this game. Hey, real quick, Josh, there's two games also on this card. It looks like we have on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So we'll throw these out here real quick. UAB versus Northern Illinois. UAB laying 2.5. Thoughts
real quick? In fact, I think that spread's flipped a little bit. I think Northern Illinois is favored now. But, yeah, I actually like UAB a little bit. I think Northern Illinois has kind of been overrated all year. I take that. The other one, the Frisco Bowl. I kind of like San Diego State, just the nature. How physical they are, and lends itself to close games. By and large, San Diego State tends to play pretty well in the bowl games as well, so I'd take them over the MAC team.
All right.
Every day.
San Diego State, right? Got to support the conference. Wolfpack basketball tips off tomorrow at 6 p.m. versus South Dakota State Jackrabbits. I have trouble saying that. Did I say it right?
I don't know.
You don't know who we play tomorrow?
I know who we play tomorrow.
Who is it?
South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
Yeah. Well, then why do you not know?
I wasn't listening.
Oh. Wow. John's having a heck of a show, Josh. Heck of a show. We talked a little bit about it earlier today when I was looking, doing some research, and I had seen that unofficially the pack was going to open up around a 15-point favor and the total being about 160. And I actually posted on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. William Hill did come out right around there, 15.5, 15, and
we're total getting 100, what do you think you're going to get?
And the total being 160, 160.5, just depending on what you got.
They gave up 90 in the first half their last game.
They scored 90.
They scored 90. Yeah, they scored 90 against Savannah State. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and a little bit about South Dakota State: 9-3 on the year, 5-6 against the spread, 6-4 as far as totals are concerned. 6 games going over, 4 games going under. I was looking at some who have they beaten. Now, they lost to Memphis, 88-80, and we do have one common opponent. We have Grand Canyon as a common opponent. They beat Grand Canyon at home. 79-74. And everybody knows that was our last game where we just beat Grand Canyon, in Arizona, 74-66. So that's the only common opponent we have. But they really haven't played anybody. Savannah State, they played Savannah State. Yeah, that's what John's talking about. They scored 139. They scored 101 against Southern. Memphis, the game before that, the last game they lost 88-80. And they lost to Tulane, 84-80. And Florida Gulf Coast, 84-78. And like John said, they gave up 88 at Memphis. They gave up 70 or 65 at Colorado State, who's not a good team this year. Tulane, they gave up 84, and at Florida Gulf Coast, they gave up 78. So, John, I kind of like what you're saying as far as how you want to wager on this game. 15 is a lot of points, and so many things can happen when a game is at 15. It's tough to bet Pac and over in this spot because you figure the Pac, Lane 15, you cut that line in half. The first number you can win at is, what would that be, 8? We'll just say 8. So they'd have to get 88. They'd have to get 88-72 in that area. So with that being said, I'm going to root for a little bit of a track meet. You know, the Pack coming home. Pack, you know, six, seven-game road trip. They come back home. They've been home for 5-6 days. You know, I've been watching the Twitter thing, and, you know, it says it's great to practice in their gym,
yeah.
You know, to get back into the gym here. So what are you guys' thoughts on the game?
Well, again, from the scores you mentioned, it sounds like South Dakota State's been pretty competitive in their losses, right? I mean, almost all of them looks like they're single-figure losses. But this team's been on the uptick the past few years, right? They've been making the NCAA tournament. Didn't they pull a big upset a couple years ago? Because I remember all the coverage, the Jackrabbits or whatever, they're a pretty solid mid-major. So it's one of those deals where, you know, in terms of looking ahead to the rest of your schedule, right, the holidays hit, then you get the bulk of, you know, your conference play coming in. I think this is another good challenge for Nevada because, you know, despite being a big favorite and everything else, this is obviously a viable opponent and kind of what they need after an extended break. And you mentioned, you know, going on those high-profile games. You had your, you know, your Arizona State and, you know, kind of USC in a more national scale. And they come back home, and it's one of those games that they can't afford a letdown or they could be pushed.
Sure. Yeah, and like that said, John, they have, you know, the All-American, Mike Dom. He's averaging 26-2 a game and 10.8 rebounds. So, you know, they do have – and then David Jenkins on the other side, he's averaging 22.5 points a game. So they got a couple of guys averaging in the 20s. But, you know, it goes back to the competition, and you look at this, you know, is for all the firepower that Nevada has, they're an under team this year.
Yeah.
I think their totals are 2-6. I mean, so they're scoring a lot of points, but they're playing pretty good defense. You know,
and you think some of those totals might have been, you know, a little bit inflated from the start based on last year and all that?
Very possibly. But let's look at, you know, the one thing that we do like to bet, you know, is Nevada over over in the second half. And Nevada at home this year, they're averaging 48.25 points a game in the second half at home, and on the road, they're averaging 44.33. So, you know, they must make great adjustments, come out, and they score. So, you know, Nevada scored 52 in the second half against BYU, 49 against Pacific, 44 against Little Rock, and then against Cal Baptist, they scored 48. So, and these are home games, you know. And, John, do you kind of think that they see the polls and they realize that they just went on the road, five or six game road streak, or road trip, they beat USC, they beat a ranked Arizona State team, you know, they beat everybody they played, and here they are coming, they dropped two spots in the poll. I mean, that's kind of got to weigh on you a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's, at this time of year, that's going to happen, especially with other better teams playing each other and knocking each other out. I don't think it really matters to them, but I think they're watching. I don't think it's any sort of motivation.
Okay, Josh, you know. Josh, do you have same opinion?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I can't, you know, see a huge, you know, edge coming from that. But one thing, and I think you put on the show's Facebook page about how one sportsbook's now offering that prop on whether Nevada goes undefeated.
Yes.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, you know, you're catching national attention when that kind of prop comes up. Of course, being in the state, it makes sense for, you know, any sports betting outlet here to make a prop like that. But given that, you know, we're probably about a third of the way through the season, I just think it's worth noting, and not that any fans here took it for granted, but just how historic this is to have a team that's legit top five, consistently now being talked about in the national media outlets. And when you see things like that, like the games they pulled out against USC and Arizona State, you just realize, I mean, to have a team this successful, it's a historic deal, and just treasure it while it lasts. Can I just put it this way? Last week, we left here Friday night and went to kind of a holiday get-together down the street, and they happened to have, it was a real late starting game at Arizona State. It was on the big screen in the conference room where this get-together was going on. And by the end of the night, you know, people were hanging out watching the game and, you know, seeing the comeback and everything. The party's kind of winding down, but everyone's gathered around the huge big screen. And the Pack scoring, and you wouldn't believe, I mean, you know, 100 or so people just going bonkers. I mean, basically,
it was a layup fest.
Yeah, but, you know, the crowd gathered, people were just going wild. Just goes to show you, I mean, I think this community appreciates it. But you will even more, you know, when it's gone. So just make sure you don't take this for granted now.
You know, going back to the prop that you said, Josh, for the Pack's plus 650 right now to go undefeated. That's a pretty small number.
It is.
To go undefeated the rest of the way out. Plus 650.
That's just the regular season.
Regular season, that's correct. Regular season, 650. So, John, do you think obviously they have this All American bomb. Do you think Mike Dom? Do you think they're just going to put Cody on him and just say try lock him down?
I'm sure that'll be the initial attempt. I think we've seen it a couple times this year when a team has a prolific score like that. You kind of let him get his and get everybody else.
It seems, John, going, I'm echoing what you're saying, they always seem to get theirs, but to me it always seems to be at the guard position.
Yeah.
We have trouble with good guards, man-to-man, fast off the dribble, but this guy's, he's not a guard. He's more of a power forward. Uh-huh. They were comparing in the article today I was reading today, kind of compared him a little bit to Nick Fizikas.
Gotcha.
So with that being said, I think that hopefully this is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see I think Cody can lock him down. That's what I'm saying.
And
I think
get rough with him,
take the ball at him, try to create some fouls. We're also obviously assuming that, they're going to come out in a zone defense like everybody else has, Josh. I mean,
that makes sense.
Yeah, trying to get Nevada to, to shoot over the zone. And, that's what's been leading to Jazz Johnson's minutes because, he's our best three-point shooter. And, he's shooting about 50% this year, in field goal percentage. And, you have to have somebody to keep the zone honest, Josh. So,
yeah, exactly. And you expected him to be a contributor. I think he's played even more minutes than anyone anticipated. But, Trey, Ken, that's one thing to notice. The Nevada can still have some weaknesses on the defensive end. I kind of wonder if that ultimately comes back to bite him if a team just, catches fire and they can't, close out on the shooters or whatnot. But you mentioned some of the guards, like the kid from Loyola who hit the game-winning shot last year, even though Nevada dominated the rematch. That guy still had a huge game. Mm-hmm. And Clayton Custer.
Guard.
Right. And so you're right. I mean, that does tend to be a weakness. I do think Coach Musselman, it comes right down concerned on the defensive end.
Let's think about the NCAA tournament last year. We were terrified about Mobamba, or is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
And, we basically took him out. The big man at Cincinnati, we basically controlled them. It's guards that give us trouble. And I think that Mus is going to come up with a game plan just to say, listen, just shut him down and make one of these other four guys beat us. And hopefully it's not David Jenkins. I do believe David Jenkins is a guard. So, another stat I got here, the last 58 home games, the Pack's 38-17-3. 38-17-3. It's a pretty good clip right there, Josh.
That's
38-17-3, yes. So with that being said, and Tommy Thompson actually sent me another stat this year, the Pack – in the second half, since Mus has taken over, they've outscored their opponents by 700 points in the second half. And you have to – let's not forget, the first year he was here, we were not good. So, that's since he's been here. So that's absolutely crazy. Plus 700
crazy.
Points. So fantastic.
That first year they still won the CBI.
Yeah, well, that's still –
I know what you
it's
mean.
Still the CBI. So with that being said, the first year here, John, didn't Mus only win – 9 games?
Or no, he inherited, never had a losing year.
Carter.
Yeah, that's right. He inherited the nine loss team. So with that being said, Pack tips off tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Come out and back the Pack. Santa Claus tomorrow night, too. So you go down there, watch the Pack come down here and start celebrating the holidays at Santa Claus. So, all right, let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into the NFL slate. This is the Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, we're back at the Club Cal Neve. I was actually reading some texts. Andy Juros, one of my buddies that I play poker with on Thursday, said that he likes the Pack game over tomorrow. So pretty good sports bettor, pretty salty poker player. We like to go down there and mix it up on Thursday nights. I usually get all the chips, then I usually drink a full bottle of whiskey, and then I usually and I'm like,
well, Fireball,
and then I just, John, you just got to stop it.
Well, don't call it whiskey.
It says whiskey on the bottle. Okay, that's enough.
Whiskey flavored.
Okay, whatever. Just because mouthwash. You don't like it doesn't mean that I can't like it.
I didn't say you couldn't like it, but just don't
call
it whiskey.
Your comments are insulting.
Don't call it whiskey.
I'm calling it what it's called on the bottle, John.
I don't know about
so
that.
So anyways, once I tend to drink half a bottle of whiskey, I give them all back. So all right. I'm really good for the game, Josh. I'm really good for the game. But anyways.
Sounds good for the game. You know what, Ken? I think a little moderate drinking helps my game as well. Lack of inhibition, all that.
There's just like pool.
But yeah, but you gotta know.
You gotta know when that top is, that top level is. So yeah. So I had all the chips last night and ended up giving them all back. So I had
El Dorado.
The Legacy. Yeah.
Okay.
So go down there. So on Thursday nights, if you guys are ever looking to play poker, watch out for that Andy though. He's a pretty sharp. He's a pretty sharp guy. All right. Two games tomorrow on Saturday. Texans. Traveling to the Jets, 6.5 is the number. Totals moved 2 full points from 41.5 all the way up to 43. I look at this Texans team, and I just I still don't know if they're any good, Josh. John, are they any good?
I mean, I wonder that as well. Can you, despite the 8 straight wins or whatever, I still think their ceiling is, you know, probably what we've seen. I mean, sometimes they've been pretty good. A lot of those wins, though, kind of came against, you know, inferior competition. They finally lost one last week at home to the Colts. Here's one of those deals, and I don't know, is Sam Darnold playing for the Jets? I would love to take the Jets. I can't do it if he's playing. I just refuse. But otherwise, I still think the Jets probably cover. It's a lot. You could, Texans lay 7 on the road. I don't think so.
That's tough. Texans just killed me last week. I had them tied with a bunch of stuff I shouldn't have. They just murdered me. But I think they bounce back right here and have a big effort. And, you know, 7 on the road is tough, but it's the Jets. So
it is the Jets.
It's not that tough.
You know, and you look, you know, there's a lot of factors here. You know, you're talking about a dome team going on the road, playing outdoors in New York. You know, it could be a little bit cold.
That's retractable.
Tim, is it retractable?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they'll have it open. I mean,
in Houston it's retractable.
Oh, okay.
So it's not.
But still, they're all. No, I understand what you're saying. But, okay, I see what you're saying. No. But they're going, okay, but they're not going to ever open it up if there's elements.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and now they're going on the road, they're traveling, they're playing, and it's going to be cold. And yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, that's just a lot of points, guys. I mean, 6.5, 7 points. You know, the other thing is I don't really understand a full 2-point move on the total.
From 40, I wouldn't either.
41.5 to 43.5. Who's to say that the Jets are going to be able to score?
Yeah, it's a good call. Like, I don't know why there'd be a steam on the over here at all. Not to mention, like, surpassed 42, which is a huge key number going over that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, you know, the 6 touchdown total. So, do you have an opinion on the total, John, at all?
Not really.
No? All right. Yeah. What about the second game tomorrow? Denver at home versus the Browns. 2.5 is the number. That's what I looked – the last number I saw, too. That's what Nick uses on the card. Total's 45.5. You know, I just don't – two other teams, you know. I know the Niners, injury-plagued. I can't wrap my head around either one of these teams. You know, for all intents and purposes, Denver season's over. You know, they have 6 wins. They're chasing in the West. They're chasing the Chargers and the Chiefs, both with 11 wins. And it looks like, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams, you know, with 7 wins. So it looks like they're going to – I guess theoretically with 3 games left, they're still in the wild card hunt, but – I'm not convinced that Denver could do anything. Emmanuel Sanders is out. But, you know, this is – Denver at home – can Baker Mayfield go in there and beat Denver?
Well, here's the thing, Ken. Denver, right, they had a pretty good run going. Suddenly they, you know, rose up from a poor start, won 3 straight games. We know they knocked off the Chargers. That's a pretty impressive wins there. But then, yeah, last week it's kind of funny. It just seems like the ultimate fool's gold. Everyone thought it was a light line, right? They're only laying, whatever, 4 – against San Francisco, and they end up losing outright, and for the most part got thoroughly outplayed. And this one, I'll tell you this, I'm scared of the Browns. I know it only takes another win or two, and they're going to take my money for the season future bets. So I'm hoping Denver comes through. Having said that, the way the Browns are going now and how well they've looked lately, I mean, you got to like their chances. With Mayfield going in there, he's better than, you know, who Denver has playing quarterback, and Browns are pretty dangerously confident right now.
5-7-1. I mean, it's crazy.
One more win, and I am that's
toast.
A push. Yeah, I lose the 5.5 I got for plus money at William Hill. That would loss, and I got 6 for minus 130 at other sports books, and that could push or lose also.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't envy your spot. You know, I was listening to VSiN the other day, and I think that there's already been 17 season win totals that have been decided.
A bunch.
And, 17 with 3 games left. So. Pretty impressive stuff, you know.
I think the Niners under was the first one to come home.
Yeah, and you know, and we talked a little bit about Dallas too. You know, they were an 8-win team last year, and they thought they were going to be better this year. So why did they had the undershaded? So you know, I got a little bit of Dallas over 8. Now I'm on the number right now. Dallas been playing pretty well last week. We'll get to that game later because I don't understand that totally either. But so, you know, going back to this game, I don't see a big edge right here in this game. You know, 2.5, a little bit of steam coming in. Oh, excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong game right there. 2.5. Total's 45.5. I could see this game being a shootout. I'm okay. I think if I had to play this game, I'd probably want to play the over a little bit, Josh. John?
Okay.
I saw a stat. I don't
can't quote it exactly.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but a rookie quarterback hasn't won in Denver in a long, long time. I don't see that happening. Again, they're still the Broncos at home. They still are a problem. to go in there and get a W. I like the Broncos here.
All right. Where's Cleveland defensively? Oh, boy. Cleveland, 31st in the NFL in total defense, giving up 133 yards a game
Cleveland
on the ground.
Cleveland. I thought that was supposed to be the strength of their team. Just the stats
right here,
it is.
They're bada bing. Now, defensively, on a yards per game basis, they're one of only four teams averaging over 400 yards on defense. They're giving up 411, 133 through the ground. That tells you that Denver wants to, you know, like John said, you know, going into Denver, you know, it's a tough place to win. Denver wants to play defense and run the ball down your throat. You know, with Lindsey and those guys, you know, out there in Denver, I think they're going to be able to do that. So I'm with you, John. Now that I think about it a little bit more, I think the number is just a little bit light.
Yeah,
you know, and I think I'm probably going to end up with a light line off Nick's half point card and keep it under the three and lay the 2.5. Minnesota at home versus the Dolphins. Everybody knows, you know, we talked a little bit about the Dolphins game earlier. You know, the last minute, I don't know what you call that, the Stanford play, you know, where they went down and beat the Patriots. You know, Minnesota just looked terrible, absolutely terrible last week against Seattle, correct?
Right.
And that, you know, and, you know, Minnesota is just. I think their defense is going to get a little bit healthy. They're getting healthier. You know, they're 6-6-1 right now. They still have a shot at a wild card spot here. It looks like Seattle's going to gobble up one of the wild card spots. They have 8 wins, but Carolina has 6, Minnesota has 6, Washington and Philadelphia both have 6. Both Washington and Philadelphia's quarterbacks are out, you know. So I think Minnesota's got a lot to play for here, and I think, you know, they're coming home. And it's a great spot, you know, with Miami coming in. Miami, they average giving up. They're 29th in the NFL on a yards per basis. They give up over 400 yards a game, 138 on the ground. Dalvin Cook is going to have a monster game in this game. I think this is one of those games where it's Minnesota and over, and I think they absolutely destroy the Dolphins tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with that completely, Ken, only because if you follow the Dolphins long enough, you just have to know this is the spot for them to no-show. After that miracle win against the Patriots, that's going to be, you know, their highlight of the season. The Vikings have been so madly inconsistent. It's just bizarre to watch them against the Seahawks, where it seemed like they can move the ball fairly well, but they just get – they'll either turn it over or miss a field goal. I mean, they're just going to get anything going until that final meaningless drive. Now there's talk about, you know, it was the Kirk Cousins deal, a mistake. Well, I thought all along they totally overpaid for him for sure. But this is just one of those spots where if you know Miami, this is one, as you mentioned, Ken, I think it's easily, you know, 38, whatever, 10 or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
not,
I think it's
– it's not enough
I think
points.
It's a butt-kicking.
Yeah,
butt
for
kicking.
Sure.
Where are the Dolphins in the wild card?
After
live,
this,
right?
Yeah, they have 7 wins. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, they have, they're 7-6 along
the way,
with.
They're over 6.5.
Yeah. So,
also.
Yeah.
They're right there, John. They're right there. They're all fighting for that second wild card, you know, because either Kansas City or the Chargers are going to get one of them.
Yeah. And Vikings are such a disappointment that it's just, I thought that team was going to be an NFC contender the whole time.
You mean after the NFC Championship game last year?
Yeah.
You know,
honestly, it's, you stick with Case Keenum, I guess, but in this game in particular, I kind of like the Dolphins. I don't trust the Vikings at all. That can go one of two ways. That last play of the Dolphins, that it might spur them on to,
yeah, that's true.
You know,
momentum,
a little belief.
Do you like the Dolphins at the 6.5, or do you need the 7?
I don't need the 7. I'll take the 6.5.
All right.
Yeah.
John likes the Dolphins. Cincinnati at home versus the Raiders opened at 2.5. 45.5 is up to 3-46. Raiders, I think you're going to win this game. I really do. I have a good feeling about the Raiders this week. They're going against Cincinnati. They're absolute worst defense in the NFL. 421 in total yardage per game. 148 through the air. Or excuse me, 148 on the ground. 273 through the air. I think it's a good spot for the Raiders. I really do.
Ken, given how they played last week, you know, it's a pretty inspiring thing to see the Raiders in such a dismal season, you know, pull off a pretty big win in front of their fans. In this situation,
I didn't find it inspiring at all.
Well, for them, the Bengals. I'd say, if anything else, Ken, I think you're right. They may be tanking worse than Oakland, is my point. Like, for the way they're rebuilding, everyone, there's been a lot of criticism of the, you know, completely strip it down. You dump your two best players, you know, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and it remains to be seen. You know, there's speculation that Gruden may not even be a Derek Carr guy. He may get rid of him. Completely overhaul the whole thing. Well, you never know, John, because he says nice things about him, but some of the games this year, you've seen him have some inner, you know, confrontations or criticisms of Carr during the game, pull him aside, and you never know what he's thinking. But I do think overall, a game like that even shows, even after you depleted your roster like that, you know, it's not all hope is lost necessarily. Like even some of the players you still have are halfway decent. Like one thing that Gruden even said when they traded Khalil Mack, he's like, "Hey, our defense was horrible with him. You know, let's get some value and get behind him." So let's see what the Raiders can do through the draft. Obviously, the next couple of years, because of all those trades, you're going to have a ton of high draft picks. And I'm just still curious. I just think 1 year is never. It's way too early to read into it. Say, "Oh, the game's passed Gruden by or whatever." I'm not sure it has.
Yeah.
And I just think, yeah, this is something of a. You know, hope building end of the season where the whole thing seemed lost. I think you can. I think there's value in the points for sure.
Absolutely. That's kind of what I'm saying.
There is, and it's Bengals are just atrocious. That's nothing new, but the Raiders look like they're actually playing to win. And Bengals don't. So
right.
I take the Raiders.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I think there's value here, especially at the three. I mean, this is a winnable game for the Raiders. You know, they're going against the worst defense. They've competed a little bit. You know, they're trying. They just fired their GM. I mean, that's something I don't understand.
Sorry to Reggie McKenzie, but that was inevitable. But it's just why now? Yeah. You wait till the end of the year. The whole reason they hired Gruden was to give him full control, like Holmgren used to have all that the $100 million thing. It was clear Gruden was going to become GM also. But why give the guy the last three games? I don't know.
I'm with you. You know, sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know what to expect. You know, in these situations. You know, and it looks like Gruden's there for the long haul. You know, hopefully he figures it out. You know, and there's the rumor real quick. I don't think it's going to come true, but there was the rumor that, you know, with the lawsuit filed in Oakland, the city of Oakland versus the NFL. There was the small possibility that the Raiders play their home games here next year.
You know what? I
could
saw
you
that
imagine
article.
That?
And no, I can't because logistically, Reno can't handle it.
Yeah.
Like the first come, first serve, general admission at Mackey Stadium for an NFL game. I mean, how many does it hold for college? I mean,
I just want to know if my skybox is included.
Imagine the traffic coming in, the diehard Raider fans coming in from the Bay Area.
Yeah, we'll do that.
There's no way that stadium could host.
I agree. But it was newsworthy. I mean, they come out. They talked about it. You know, and if they don't play in Oakland next year, they're gonna have to play somewhere.
True.
San Diego.
Can't imagine where that would be. But
all right, we have to hit off our next commercial break. It's about that time for traffic. Don't forget to do all your wagering at William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. What did he say? All right, welcome back to William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel and John the Hawk Stevens. I'm going to turn the show over to Josh real quick. Josh, Ravens and Tampa Bay. Ravens laying 7.5, 46.5.
Yeah, this is one of those. I haven't been a big believer in the Ravens this year, but I also sort of feel like the Buccaneers are done. I mean, despite their strong start last week, it guaranteed, you know, another non-winning season for them for whatever, like 50 straight years, something along those lines. I don't like them much here. I mean, they could show up. That's a lot of points to lay with Baltimore, but given that AFC North race that's in there, I know they're trying to catch the Steelers. Of course, they could overtake it. With the Pittsburgh loss, the Ravens are right there. I just feel like that's a motivational spot for them. I hate to lay that many points. To me, it'd be an easy teaser. Like, I'd only have Baltimore.
That's the only thing you could have here. And you're right. The Ravens aren't any good, and they're going to end up winning the division just because the Steelers play the Patriots and Saints back-to-back, even though it's in Pittsburgh. But it's a maddening turn of events in that division. And it's too many points to lay. It's a good teaser play, but... I can't make a case for the Buccaneers.
I'm with you because you know Winston's going to help. He's going to help the Ravens win.
Exactly.
He's supposed to be helping Tampa Bay to win, but he's going to have some bad turnovers. So, you know, it's just one of those teams I just can't get a grip. Did somebody say they kind of like a teaser right here?
I said to me, I thought it'd be a pretty easy teaser, like down to
get the Ravens into a spot just to win. Yeah, I can see that. Colts at home versus the Cowboys. Colts laying 3, totals four, went from 46.5 to 47. Nick used 2.5 on the half-point card. It's all the way up to 3. Well, I don't understand. I'm a Cowboy fan. Obviously, everybody knows that. Why are the Cowboys a 3-point dog right here? I mean, they're playing lights out. 5 straight wins, playing great defense. And I don't see why this number's 2.5, and I don't see why it went to 3.
It's a tough look. I sort of agree with you. I was surprised when I saw it at first. I think the main thing is the Colts are starting to play pretty well, too. That was a pretty big win for them, you know, last week against a division rival on the road in Houston. I just feel like this could be a byproduct also that as well as Dallas has played, and I lost. I was a tough one on the Eagles, you know, plus 3.5 last week in an overtime walk-off. But I just feel like there's almost an anticipation that it has to dry up at some point.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a letdown spot. After all those big games, after beating the Saints, you know, knocking off the Eagles in overtime and everything the Cowboys have done, I just think there might be kind of a built-in, you know, possibility of a letdown on this one. I think that's why the Colts are favored.
I see your guys' point. You know, I guess the letdown would be Dallas has a two-game lead in the East, and they've got their plan. And the two teams that are have 6 wins both have quarterback issues. I can see it. But this is, you know, the Colts' defense struggled. They didn't score against Jacksonville. I mean, theoretically, on paper, Dallas has a better defense than Jacksonville. I think they're going to be able to slow the game down. And Dallas, don't fall in love with Dak Prescott throwing for 400 yards and throwing the ball and completing 40 passes or throwing 40 passes. Don't fall in love with that. This is an under game. Dallas is going to run the ball, control, and play defense. That's what they're going to do. I like the under in this game. The under to me is the play. But once again, you know, I'm surprised that Dallas is the money. I'm surprised the money's coming in on Indy.
I don't even know. I don't know who the Colts are.
Well put.
I can't wrap my head around them. It's Cowboys are nothing for me here, and I just don't get it. I was listening to Will Cain today, who I'm a big fan of Will Cain here on the network, and he said he would still take Dak Prescott over Jared Goff, and I thought
that guy's nuts. Like it's kind of funny. I enjoy his show as well, but man, his Cowboys, it's one of those things where I understand that's his team, but as other, you know, analysts have pointed out, though, it's almost as if his show has become just like a local Cowboys discussion show. I think he needs to lay off them a little bit. It's all literally all he talks about. He's a bit delusional. But
Bill's line, like I said, I would only have the under in this game. I mean, this is a high total, guys, from 46.5 to 47. Dallas wants to run the ball. I mean, on paper, like I said, Dallas on paper. Where did my defensive numbers go right here? Number fourth in the NFL. Number four.
The Colts are starting to play some defense as
They're
well.
11.
Yeah.
You know, and the Colts, they give up 102 yards a game, so Dallas is going to be able to move the ball on the ground a little bit, which is going to consume clock. And it's an under game. This is a stone-cold under game.
All right.
Bills at home versus the Lions.
Yikes.
Yeah, Bills 2.5. John, you said that you don't know who the Colts are. Who are the Lions?
Or the Bills.
Who are the Bills? Well,
I know who the Lions and Bills are. They're the Lions and the Bills.
So let's. You know, I know we're behind the clock, so you guys want to spend a lot of time?
Bills. No, not a lot. I just think the Bills are actually better than people realize. But
Bills are hella good.
Yeah, who they beat? Who they lose to last week?
That's the Jets. Neither here nor there.
So
I think Detroit in this spot only because anytime, at least right now, I think the Bills are laying the chalk. I think he's at least have to make a case for the other side. You can bet against them. Just not win.
Number one defense in the NFL in 290 yards a game. That's what they give. So I'm going to pass on it. So I'm going to pass. John?
Bills.
All right. There you go. Are you just saying that, or do you really actually like the Bills a little bit?
I'm just saying that.
All right. Bears at home versus the Packers. 5.5. 5.5. You know.
Yeah.
It's just everybody wants to talk about firing the coach in Green Bay, and look at Favre. If you look at his stats last week, he didn't have an outstanding game. There's nothing to think.
Did you say Favre?
Excuse me, Rodgers. Did I say Favre? Excuse me,
Favre.
Rodgers. You know, if you look at
Favre, didn't have a good game either.
He had a better game than Rodgers.
Yeah.
So, Josh, real quick.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Ken. Though I like the Packers only because again the Bears similar. Theory, I think I would apply to the Cowboys. They've had so many big wins in a row, just coming off the huge one, signature win over the Rams, possible playoff preview. The Packers are going nowhere, but they're still that division rival. And you look at what happened the last time, right, the miracle comeback. I think that's why Rodgers gets a hall pass, by the way. He does something like that. People go, oh, he's so great. And they don't criticize him where it's warranted down the line. But this one, the bottom line is I just feel like Rodgers is out to kind of prove something with McCarthy gone. They seem to be playing a little bit more inspired, at least. Can't lay the touchdown with the Bears.
Have you looked at his stats last week?
Not.
How many yards do you think he threw for last year? They scored. The final score was 34-20.
I mean, I couldn't tell you.
196.
They played a little
better. 196. He didn't even throw for 200 yards. So I mean, nothing.
Have a lot of weapons.
He's got Devontae Adams.
I am an Aaron Rodgers apologist, though.
So with that being said, I just I look at this and He's gonna have a lot of trouble. They're gonna have a lot of trouble with this Bears team. You know, number three defense in the NFL, and if things don't go right, Green Bay's in for a lot of trouble. This is a teaser.
Yep.
This exactly teaser play for me, John and Josh, to get that game down just to a win.
Bears.
What about this next game, guys? The Giants playing the Texans. You know, the Giants going absolutely nowhere. In last place in the NFC East, 5-8, playing the Texans, 9-win team, 9-4, going on the road.
You mean Titans, right?
Excuse me.
Same thing.
I did 7-6, but I handicapped this game wrong, so I'm gonna give it a pass. Now it makes a little bit more sense to me. Somehow in my notes, I ended up with when I was handicapping it, I had the Giants versus the Texans, but it's the Titans. So I apologize for that. So I don't have a lot of information on this. But, you know, I write my notes down real quick and then just start doing stuff, and it just eluded me until just now. So I actually handicapped this game incorrectly.
How'd that come out?
Well, I had the Texans getting 2.5. I was getting ready to push all in.
I would say so.
So anyways, go ahead, guys.
But with the Titans, it's tough because they're erratic as well. Talk about, you know, tough team to figure out. We know they've got big wins against, you know, the Patriots, Cowboys, and they've also had a bunch of kind of puzzling losses. To me, though, the way they're playing now, the Giants, you know, beat the Bears a couple weeks ago, then
scored 1,000 points
right
last week.
I think they're playing well right now. So as current form suggests, I think the right side is favored. I'd go New York.
Odell Beckham's out, right?
Yeah.
Yes, out.
Yeah, that's an issue. But I like what the Giants are doing now. I like the way they're playing ball. I'd take nothing but the Giants here.
Yes, Andy, Georgia is like having pocket aces. You get your money in the pot, anything could happen. But, yes, take Georgia. Some people ask me who I like in the Georgia game, and I really like Georgia. Anyways, with that being said, you know, I'm with you. This is a pass for me. I just don't know. Jacksonville. Who's Jacksonville? Lay 7.5 to anybody. Total's 36. This is a Paul Sonner special, John. Redskins plus a touchdown, under 35.5.
And they're still throwing who out there? Mark Sanchez or Josh Johnson? I mean, who's the Redskins?
Who's Jacksonville throwing out there?
Well, that's a good question. Is it still Cody Kessler? I don't know, but still Cody Kessler can at least play a little bit.
I can't get the taste out of my mouth from what Tennessee did to Jacksonville. Jacksonville quit. That's a fact. If they come to this game, guys, with that same attitude. Seven's golden.
I agree. That's what I wondered, though. Can the Redskins even take advantage of a quitting team? I mean, can they?
I think I hate the Jaguars more than any other team in football.
Just because, why is that? You just can't wrap your head around them?
Get real, Jaguars.
You know, give me the dog here. I don't really have Washington plus 7.5. There's nothing in the world. Washington can play a little bit of defense. You know, and there's nothing in the world.
Did they just give up 75 points to the Giants last week?
Yeah, they did. They did. But just Jacksonville, who are they to separate? Who's Jacksonville to lay 7 points to anybody? Anybody.
Yeah, at this point, that's the approach I'd take as well. But
Atlanta at home versus the Cardinals. Opened at 8.5. Oh, yeah, it's a great card this week. 8.5 up to 9.5 and 44. You know, and here's another game, guys. I mean, the Falcons? I mean, who?
Yeah, they haven't covered it all year. Why start now? The Cardinals have been fairly decent, actually, against good teams. The Cardinals have been all right. We know they beat Green Bay, although that's not a good team. But
one team knows they suck, and they're playing hard. The other team thinks they're good.
Right. It hasn't figured it out yet.
Exactly.
And the Cardinals, we know, they won, you know, at Green Bay. They played very well in Kansas City. We're in one score game right till the end. And so they've been somewhat respectable given the fact that that's also a total overhaul, you know, project of the works right now. So this situation, to me, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't surprise the Falcons somehow find a way. It's like 24-21. Yeah, only underdog.
Yep. I'll follow you.
John's just disgusted about this whole slate.
I am.
You don't even know why you got out of bed to come here, did you?
I don't know why.
So, all right, Seattle. This is another interesting move. Seattle, NICU's 5.5 on this. They're traveling to San Francisco to play the 49ers. NICU's 5.5 on the half-point card. Total's 43.5. It's moved up a full point to 44. But the sides moved 2 full points. Niners are down to 3.5. 5.5 on the half-point card, if you're looking for an edge, you know, you capture 4, which is a huge number to capture, Josh. 5's kind of a dead number.
Right.
Usually. But, you know, you can get the Niners plus 5.5 on the half-point card. It's down to 3.5.
Yeah, and that, like you said, Ken, that's a huge move. It seems sort of bizarre, but to me, again, it's one of those patterns that you see. Like the Seahawks, again, had another huge win against the Vikings on Monday Night Football. Look at last week's biggest trap of the week was everyone in the world seemed to be on the Broncos. They went in and lost to the Niners, who are more competitive than those who aren't really paying attention understand. 3.5, even by NFL standards, that's still, you know, kind of a key number. That shows you where it's headed here. I think, you know, it's just a little bit of a trap game. The Niners, Kyle Shanahan's doing a pretty decent job there despite all the personnel issues. Won't surprise me to see the Niners cover again.
Oh, man. Niners bite me every chance they get. I'm going to stay as far away from this game as I possibly can.
You know, the Niners are fighting. They're playing hard. I mean, they are.
I like Kyle Shanahan.
Huh?
I like Shanahan.
Yeah,
obviously they're going in a good direction.
They're decimated with injuries. You know, yeah. Garoppolo's out. Breda's. You know, is he going to play or not? He's game time. Is he not? I think he's game time. You know, but and they're going through a lot of problems. You know, but huge rivalry game here. Everybody knows San Francisco, Seattle. You know, 5.5 is a lot of points, guys. I mean,
really impressive what Pete Carroll's done this year.
It is, because there, I tell you what, John, the first four or five games of the year, I thought Seattle was going to be terrible, and I did. And he's really turned it around, and it looks like they're going to capture the one of the two wild card spots with eight wins. They have a full, at least a two-game lead over everybody else. So, I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a dangerous out in the playoffs, don't you guys think?
Yeah, I do. I totally do. If it matched up, they'd be at Dallas, I believe, right?
It would be,
I don't know if you want that.
No. Dallas would get the last
place. The second wild card?
The second wild card. Because they're a division winner.
It was different last week.
Yeah, so. But with that being said, it's just, Dallas is, it's going to be interesting. Dallas, they have eight wins right now. Obviously, the Saints and the Rams are going to be the 1-2 seed. It's going to be Dallas and Chicago in the 3-4, depending on what happens the rest of the year. So, with that being said, I think 5.5 is too many. I would only have the dog in this spot at 5.5. I have no interest in laying more in that. I think San Francisco is going to get up for this team and really want to play spoiler. So, that's it after our last commercial break. We come back, we'll continue with the NFL, give out our selections. This is the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Josh, where can you get your stuff? Sportsline.com?
Correct. And Twitter at Josh Nagel 1.
Twitter, not Josh Nagel 1. Got a lot of articles up there right now, don't you?
Yeah, a bunch.
All right. And you can also follow the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping on Facebook. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. A few more games here we got to go over. John, I'm going to throw this one up to you right now. Steelers, Patriots. Patriots favored on the road, opened at 1.5. Full move towards the Patriots at 2.5 right now, and a full move on the total from 52.5 to 53.5. Before you get anywhere, what's the status of Big Ben?
He's playing.
I know he's playing, but how hurt is he?
They've been kind of playing it close to the vest.
Yeah.
But
very Belichick-like?
Yeah, in a sense, but it's... He's fine. It's just a rib issue. It's not a big deal. He doesn't get hit as much as he used to. He doesn't stop cars with his face anymore, any of that type of stuff. But these last 3 weeks for the Steelers, it's been the most frustrating, ridiculous. They just find a new way to lose. It's actually a pretty good spot. If that Dolphins miracle didn't happen, I'd really like the Steelers here. It's still a pretty good spot for the Steelers, though. The Patriots are pretty much locked up to where they're going to be. Steelers are fighting for their life against, I know the Ravens and everything. This is their biggest rival in terms of who you need to beat to be who you want to be is the Patriots. And I think it's a good spot for the Steelers. I think the Steelers get the win here. And they've been playing pretty good defense lately over the last 3 months or so. I wish the Dolphins didn't blow. Actually, that's not true. I enjoyed the hell out of watching Gronk stumble towards the goal line there at the end. But this is a good spot for the Steelers to bounce back and get one of these three wins that they salted away. Get one of them back.
Right.
And this is one of the losses that you look at when the schedule comes out. You're like, yeah, they're not going to beat the Patriots. Yeah, they are. They're going to beat the Patriots.
Is Connor going to play?
That's still up in the air. I think so, actually. I don't. He's going to be limited in whatever he does, but it sucks that it's that once Le'Veon Bell is officially out for the year is when Connor gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. When he can't come back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Figures. But to your point though, I like what you said about the Patriots last week. I would have felt the same way if they somehow just find a way to hold off the Dolphins despite being lackluster performance as it was the whole way. I wouldn't like it as much. With that happening, it makes you worry about their bounce back. But what I find really difficult to handicap this game is those angles hold true for both teams. Like, the Patriots historically are really good in these spots, and they've actually dominated this series. I think they've covered five straight trips to Pittsburgh. But remember the controversy last year and the no catch that got taken away?
It's ridiculous. I'll never get
over that. Steelers should have won. And so the Patriots have such a history of being great in these spots, but so is Pittsburgh. And when you look at the depths of what's going on here and the three straight losses, I just feel like, when it comes right down to it, you make a strong case for both of them. But I really feel like, based on all that, Steelers are a little more desperate. I think they win this game.
Fourth and fifth ranked offenses in the NFL, Pittsburgh at 408 yards a game, New England at 397. It looks to be, a lot of fireworks. And, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I have – even though the Patriots have nine wins, I have not really been impressed with the Patriots this year.
They're not a great team.
I think they're getting a lot of reputation wins, and I know that people are probably just yelling at the radio right now, but, just even the Miami game, even a couple of weeks ago when they separated late versus, who was it, the Browns? No. Who was it? When we were in Vegas, who did they play weekend?
It was the Jets.
The Jets, yeah. They separated the late versus the Jets. I had New England in a 10-point teaser there, and there was a time I was a little worried.
That one for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I tend to agree with you, John and Josh. I think if I can get this up to it opened at 1.5, it's at 2.5 now. You know, if I can get it to 3, I'll buy off of 3 and take 3.5. And I think Pittsburgh is going to find enough to stay in this game. I really do. I think that it's a heart check for Pittsburgh. You know, like John said, they got to get one of these losses back, and this is huge right now. This is absolutely huge, John. Like you said, they're 7-5-1. They have a slight lead over Baltimore because of the tie. You know, with Baltimore being 7-6. So,
is this a 1 o'clock game?
Yes, sir. It is 120. Yeah, 125. So, with that being said, I'm only interested in Pittsburgh right near here. I just think it's a good spot for Pittsburgh.
If there's a Gronk prop, yards, take it over. They can't stop him as it is. He's coming off an embarrassing end of that game.
You think, by the way, the way that play developed and the way they showed up, he doesn't stumble. He gets there,
he
right?
Probably
he
does.
Probably pushes him out at the 5-yard line.
It was hilarious.
Well, the controversy
on a banana peel.
It was so funny.
The controversy there was why is Gronk even in the game?
Yeah, it's not going to be a Hail Mary.
They couldn't throw it that far.
Hail Mary it from 70 yards out.
Yeah. And so, and even Belichick goes, yeah, I don't know what I did right there. So he owned it. He owned it. Rams, Eagles, here's another game. You know, we're talking about big moves, guys. You know, the Rams at home playing Philadelphia, Wentz out for the year. But, you know, the Eagles got their Super Bowl-winning quarterback back to their pitching, guys. Opened at 10.5. It's up to 12.5. 12.5. Golly, that's a lot of points.
You're really begging you to take the Eagles, and I'll oblige. That's all you could do, right?
You got the Eagles?
For sure.
All right. Go with it.
Why not? Because what's funny about Wentz is he's always been hurt. Now he's got a back thing that won't require surgery, but, I mean, a broken vertebrae or something. It's pretty crazy. But I will say this, as I have all year, I feel like Wentz has played like a guy who's scared of getting injured. He's been not quite right all year.
Yeah.
So it's just as well. The Eagles say they're not going anywhere. Are they mathematically still alive? Maybe. I mean, now that all hope is more or less lost of the division after that overtime defeat to the Cowboys, if you're going to shut it down, might as well. But I don't think Wentz has been himself. He's kind of crumpled under. He used to be so physical, running through tacklers and getting outside the pocket. This year, he just sees the rush coming and kind of goes down. Foles, for better or worse, if he's healthy, it gives you a fighting chance. And the Rams, they're in that bounce back spot after the loss to the Bears, but I still can't lay 2 touchdowns.
Does it stink? 10-point teaser.
Yeah.
Either way.
Well, I'd rather
take 22 points than lay 1.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah,
you look
I've done it before.
Well, you guys look for get well games, and this is a get well game for the Rams. This is a separation game. You know, they're still playing for the number one seed in the NFC.
They're the best team in football, I still think.
Yeah, they didn't look good last week. I agree, John. They had a down week.
All over the Bears. It was just a spot play.
Like the Bears last week.
Yeah, but I'll take the Rams over anybody.
11-2 versus, they're 11-2. So are the Saints. They're 11-2. You know, they're fighting for the home field advantage throughout the NFC and the playoff for the NFC through the playoffs. You know, and I just think it's a great spot. It's a great spot for a get well game. But like Josh said, here's the deal. If I'm Josh, John, if I'm laying 12 or 10.5 on this card, I'm betting it over because I think that the Rams they're due for an offensive explosion. What are the Bears ranked on defense? Real quick, I
they've got to be close to the top.
Excuse me, not the Bears, the Eagles. 25th.
Yeah, Eagles.
Ouch.
Well, it's been a major letdown this year, particularly in the secondary.
They're just decimated with injuries. But
that's
a team when you look forward to next year. Yep. I think the Eagles are going to be a factor next year.
All right. Saints-Panthers, Monday night game. Saints going on the road, laying 6.5 total. Opened at 52.5. A full 2-point move to the under. Down to 50.5, Josh. From 52.5 down to 50.5.
That makes sense.
You know, the Saints, 11-2. This team's
they're awesome.
They're pretty good. Away from home, though. On grass.
They hit the wall a little bit, and I think this is a great spot for the Panthers just because they have underachieved. It's weird. I thought they were going to be better. They started off the season pretty strong. Just went to a major tailspin, but they've always played New Orleans pretty well in Carolina. And the Saints, as long as they were blowing everyone out, they finally hit the wall a little bit, had that loss to Dallas. I think the same thing presents here. That's a ton of points. You realize they actually struggled in Tampa as well. That was bizarre. I was I was holding on for dear life. It was funny. Actually, I also had the Bucks on a teaser at plus 14.5. I thought it was safe all day. They're up 14 immediately. Then I'm just praying at the end there that the Saints don't get another touchdown. And but still, they had, you know, New Orleans covered the game, but struggled, actually. It was closer than it looked, you know, 14-point gap. They struggled with Tampa Bay a long time. Coming to this one, I think the same thing. It's sort of the last, you know, call for the Panthers to stand up and have a good performance against a division opponent. I think Carolina keeps it close.
You think?
At a minimum, they could win out, right?
They could. It's, this division's always so wacky. I like taking the home dog anytime I can get it, so I guess I'm with you. I think the Saints are awesome, though. It's tough.
I understand. I mean, it's going to be, you know, so we have about 2 minutes. Let's, you guys got your, don't forget Wolfpack basketball tomorrow at 6 p.m. versus San Diego, or South Dakota State. Pack's lane about 15, total's about 160. Tip off at 6 p.m., so make sure you come down there and back the Pack. You know, they've been on the road for a long time. You know, we need to get Lawler rocking and come out there and support the Pack. Cool. So, and then we also have to still have to give out our selections, which we will post on our Facebook page. I'll get those out tonight. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. We post a lot of things on there. We'll be giving a lot of last-minute bowl bets, you know, things that come across, you know, fast, you know, during the bowl season. So sometimes you don't have a lot of time, but so you got to snatch it up. So, all right, Josh, I'm going to write this.
Sure.
Do you got, Josh?
I'll go with, for the NFL, I'll give you Vikings, Packers, Panthers, and just one bowl play tomorrow. Go ahead with Tulane.
So you just gave Minnesota, Green Bay, Carolina, Pro, and then Tulane in college.
Yeah.
All right, John, what do you got?
I can't believe it was Dolphins.
Miami, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. That never works that well. Bills.
All right.
And your Pittsburgh Steelers.
College, anything there?
Fresno State.
FSU, oh, my God, we're all going to line up on Fresno. Kid's going to give out Denver, the Colts, the Patriots.
Patriots.
Opposite side. Cincinnati game. Cincinnati Raider game over, and he's going to give out the Fresno game under. I'm going to give out 2-2 right now, and I'm going to add a pro pick to the Facebook page, but I'm going to give out Minnesota. I'm going to give out the Dallas game under, App State game over tomorrow, and also Fresno State. Make sure you do all your betting at William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Good luck this week. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.